Welcome to Prophecy Today with your Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. Our goal at Prophecy Today is to reach the world with the news that Jesus is returning soon and to encourage Christians to live a pure and productive life in light of His imminent return. Jimmy, tell us what we can expect from today's broadcast.
Jay, we are beginning a brand new study today. A study that has a significant connection to current events in our world today. This study will look into the scriptures to see how the return of Jesus Christ to the earth will actually take place. However, as we learn of the procedure for the second coming, we study as well how biblical Babylon, which is modern-day Iraq, how this geographical location plays into the last day's prophetic scenario that can be found in Bible prophecy. First, we want to look at what Jesus said would happen before His second coming. The Lord told us what to look for leading up to His second coming in the Olivet Discourse. Take your Bible and let's go to Matthew 24 to begin our study.
Thank you, Jimmy. And now our Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung.
Take your Bibles and let's go now to the book of Matthew chapter 24. Book of Matthew chapter 24. While you're going to Matthew 24, let me lay out for you this timeline that I've used for a number of years for the purpose of, as I'm teaching, giving the people a visual in front of them so they can see how the end times are going to unfold. I would say the wall is 6,000 years ago, and in six 24-hour days, Jesus Christ created the heavens, the earth, and all that in them is at that period of time, about 6,000 years ago. Come along for 4,000 years, Jesus Christ comes, lives, died, buried, resurrects, goes to heaven. Have a 2,000-year distance between that event and the next event, which is the rapture of the church. Jesus shouts, archangel shouts, trumpet of God sounds, and we're out of here to be with Him. That event's the next event to happen. It can happen at any moment. There's a 7-year period of time after that called the tribulation period. This will be Revelation 4 to 19, 16 chapters, detailed information about this terrible time of judgment, the tribulation period. Revelation chapter 19, when Jesus Christ gets on a white horse, steps out of the heavenlies, and we come with Him back to the earth. He plants His feet on the Mount of Olives in the city of Jerusalem. After the Battle of Armageddon, there's a 1,000-year millennial kingdom when Jesus Christ will be the head of a theocracy here on the earth, and that's for a 1,000-year period of time. At the end of that, the great white throne judgment, at which time Jesus will be the judge. He'll sentence those rejecting Him in the lake of fire, which is a second death, and then eternity future, new heavens, new earth, and New Jerusalem, and that would be Revelation chapters 21 and 22. As you get a handle on the book of Revelation, you're going to become very aware of the fact that when Jesus gave His Olivet Discourse on Monday afternoon of Passion Week, before He'd be crucified in a couple of days, that Jesus Christ in the Olivet Discourse, especially recorded in Matthew chapter 24, was laying out, actually, the book of Revelation. He was laying all the details out that would unfold in that period of time that John the Revelator would be talking about in the book of Revelation. And so when you go to the book of Matthew chapter 24 and look at it, we can see how things are going to end in this period of history after the tribulation. Look with me at Matthew 24. Let me just remind you, Matthew 24 is not in any way referring to the rapture of the church. The rapture of the church is not found in Matthew 24. First of all, the rapture of the church is for the people of the church, and the church has not even been established yet. It comes into place in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. And so when Jesus is talking to a group of Jews and maybe some Gentiles, He's not talking about the church and what's going to happen with them. In fact, the question is asked specifically by these men who have been traveling with Him for a number of years. Look what He says here in verse 3. And as He sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto Him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of Thy coming?" The sign of Thy coming. Now let me tell you something else, Christians are not looking for signs of the coming. We're listening for a sound that will bring us to be with him in the heavenlies yes. at the rapture of the church. And so as we look at the scriptures, we must discern that this is not talking about the rapture of the church. These are going to be signs given to the Jewish people leading up to his second coming. Now notice verse 4, and here's the most significant, most important sign, the number one sign that Jesus will give. Verse 4, and Jesus answered, and he said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying that I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Look at verse 11. And many false prophets shall arise, and shall deceive many. Verse 24, for there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. The number one sign that Jesus gives about his soon coming, the second coming, not the rapture, because the rapture is separated from the second coming by a 7-year period of time, but we're talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ, and the number one sign, deception. Verse 24 says the way he will communicate that deception will be through signs, wonders, and miracles. Now, signs, wonders, and miracles are prevalent in our world today, especially among so-called Christendom. I mean, you can turn on any Christian, so-called Christian TV network, and see all kinds of signs, wonders, and miracles. Don't think that I don't believe that Jesus Christ or God the Father or the Holy Spirit can not perform miracles. I believe they can do whatever they want to. I don't tell them what they can do, but I do tell you what they say. And this is what Jesus said. This is going to be an evidence you can recognize that I'm soon to be coming back to the earth. By the way, that corresponds with the first seal judgment in Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, which would be the man on the white horse, which is the appearance of the Antichrist. Now here in chapter 24 again, in verse 6, you see, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. That corresponds with the second seal judgment in Revelation chapter 6, and that would be verses 3 and 4, a man on a red horse who comes and takes peace from the earth, and when you take peace, then you have war. Going on in verse 7, and there shall be famines, the third seal judgment, a man on a black horse in chapter 6, coming forth, and famine. Famine is rampant throughout the world. We don't understand that in this nation, even though we're economically in trouble, we still don't understand how it would be to be starving to death. Probably at any of the meals that you will have today, you'll have more food than they will have most likely in a week of any part of their life. Famines he brings up into attention, and it corresponds with that judgment of the black horse in Revelation chapter 6. Pestilence. Pestilence is one of those old King James words. Had to look it up to see what it meant. I have a dictionary written by Noah Webster. It's an 1828 publication of this dictionary. And Noah Webster had the whole purpose in that dictionary of defining every word in the King James Bible. And so I went back to that and found out pestilence means pandemic disease. Pandemic disease leading to death. That would be the fourth seal judgment in Revelation chapter 6 when 1/4 of the earth's population is going to die. Earthquakes, and in diverse places these earthquakes unfolding. In fact, there was a 4.6 earthquake in Israel just this last week. So earthquakes in diverse places increasing as we move towards the second coming of Jesus Christ. Notice here in verse 15, it talks about something very important. He's giving the people a warning about the abomination of desolation. When ye shall therefore see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by the prophet Daniel, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth him, let him understand, then let them which be in Judea flee unto the mountains. The abomination of desolation is talking about when a temple stands at the midway point of the tribulation period. The Antichrist is going to walk into the temple, 2 Thessalonians 2:4. He'll walk into the Holy of Holies. He will sit down to be worshipped at that particular location. This is exactly what the one who has energized him had in mind. Satan, according to Revelation chapter 13, energizes, giving his power and seat of authority to the Antichrist. And Satan said in Isaiah chapter 14, in five of his I wills, one of them, I will be worshiped in Jerusalem. And so Antichrist walks into the temple. He sits down there, and indeed he is going to be involved in getting the worship, which is the abomination of desolation. Once he has received that worship at the midway point, he's going to leave there. They'll put a statue that is able to talk and to move in there, and everybody in the world will be called on to worship that particular statue. And so again, we see all of these things unfolding. Now, and this is just going in almost perfect coordination with the book of Revelation. And if I had the time, I would just go back and forth between the two. I'm simply trying to introduce something to you. What leads up to the second coming of Christ? As we go now to verse 29 of Matthew 24, we see what does follow this seven-year period of time. Matthew 24, verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. This is going to be at the time of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ at the end of the tribulation period. A number six seal in chapter 6 of the book of Revelation is a similar activity, but this will be only intensified. And in fact, we'll see this unfolding in the vile judgments that are unfolding in chapter 16 of the book of Revelation, when we see the sun becoming so hot it scorches men so that they even gnaw their tongue with their teeth in pain. But immediately after the tribulation, he says this happens. Now look at verse 30. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. This is talking about the second coming of Christ. All of humankind does not see at the rapture of the church Jesus Christ. In fact, he is in the heavenlies to a certain extent, somewhere in the air, somewhere in space, and we're caught up to be with him at that time. And so this is a different event than the rapture of the church, again, to give emphasis to that. Verse 31, and he shall send his angels. Now notice this, please. Make note of this. We'll come back to it. And he shall send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. There will be a trumpet sound. I have a book entitled Sound the Trumpets, which is plural. The trumpet that will bring the church, the Christian community, into his presence at the rapture will be sounded at before the tribulation period starts. When Jesus Christ comes back, he turns to an angel, tells him to take a trumpet and blow it, and in essence call a solemn assembly, bringing all the Jews from out of every four corners of the earth and into the heavens, and bring them to be with him there.
There are two trumpet sounds of great significance in the future. One at the second coming of Jesus Christ, but the next trumpet sound will be the one at the rapture of the church, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. That's the sound, not the sign, but the sound that we are waiting for, the trumpet sound to take us up to be with Jesus in the heavenlies. We could hear that sound today. Make sure you're ready for that trumpet sound by knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Next week on the broadcast, we see how modern-day Iraq plays into the end-time scenario found in Bible prophecy. Right now, here's Jay to tell you how you can get your copy of this week's study.
Thank you, Jimmy. We'll definitely be looking forward to next week's study. If you're interested in purchasing your copy of this week's study, you can visit our website at prophecytoday.com or call our toll-free number at 8-PROPHECY-8. That's 877-674-3298. You've been listening to Prophecy Today with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. We trust that you have enjoyed this time in God's prophetic word and that Jimmy's teaching has been beneficial for you. Once again, to get a copy of today's broadcast, visit our website at prophecytoday.com. Remember, Jesus is coming, and it could be today. So let's keep looking up. Until...